This morning's New Testament reading comes from Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. It can be found on page 942 in the Bible. The scriptures tell us that the coming of Jesus into the world is good news to all nations. During Advent, we will hear the passage of scripture read in different languages. To celebrate this great news, today I'll be reading in Chinese Mandarin. The words will also be in English on the screen. 今天早晨我们读罗马书第五章一到十一节，我们既因信称义，就借着我们的主耶稣基督得以与神相合，我们又借着他因信得以进入现在所站的这恩典中。 并且欢欢喜喜，盼望神的荣耀。不但如此，就是在患难中也是欢欢喜喜的，因为知道患难生忍耐，忍耐生老练，老练生盼望，盼望不至于羞耻。因为所赐给我们的圣灵，将神的爱浇灌在我们心里。 因我们还软弱的时候，基督就按所定的日期为罪人死，为义人死是少有的，为人人死或者有敢做的，唯有基督在我们还做罪人的时候为我们死，神的爱就再次向我们显明了。现在我们既靠着他的血称义， 就更要借着他免去神的愤怒，因为我们做仇敌的时候，且借着神儿子的死得以与神和好，既已和好，就更要因他的生得救了。不但如此，我们既借着我们主耶稣基督得以与神和好，也就借着他 以神为乐，这是主的话语。This is the word of the Lord.
感谢主。 During Advent season, we are taking Romans 5, 1 through 11, preaching through this great text. And we're following along sort of the main themes in a typical Advent season. Last week we looked at hope. This week we look at peace. Next week is joy. And the fourth Sunday of Advent we will look at love. I must tell you that I always get a little bit PTSD from the concept of peace at Advent. I've told you this story before, but when I was first pastor, I came to Westerly Road, Stonehill, in the summer of 1989, and in the Christmas of 1989, I was asked by Bob Dahl to be the scripture reader while the choir did its choir concert. And I have to say, I was nervous about that. Being a young pastor, I was mostly working with high school students and middle school students, and so I really practiced really hard. I didn't want to have a lot of fluency problems. And so I worked on this extremely hard. And I think it was going pretty well. At least I thought it was going pretty well. And I got to the last scripture reading. The choir had done this phenomenal job of singing about the birth of Christ. And I had the congregation completely standing at the end, and I was pronouncing the benediction. I was going to share what the angels had said, shared to the shepherds. I was going to say, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Merry Christmas, Westerly Road. That was what I was. And I thought, I've made it. It's gone well. And then this happened. As I looked out at that congregation, I said this, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And for the next 6 months, middle school and high school students, as well as their parents, which you see where they learned it from, would come up to me and say, "Peeth, man, peeth." So hopefully I will say the word peace correctly throughout this text. I thought about highlighting it in my script here to get it right. One of the ways we deal with the world and the chaos of the world, and of course it is chaotic, what's happening in Ukraine, what's happened in Syria over the weekend, and so many other places. Sometimes it feels easiest to put your head in the sand, you know, hear no evil, see no evil. Or you can become completely overwhelmed by the chaos of the world, of course. Or you can spend time criticizing the world, right? You know, oh, look at everybody out there and, you know, somehow deal with it that way. But what we have to see and what we have to believe about the chaos we see in the world is that the reason there is so much problems in the world and there's a lack of peace in the world is because each of us, not only in this church, but outside this church, each of us has been damaged by sin. We all, even believers in Jesus Christ, still sin and brings all kinds of havoc into the world. Misunderstandings, harsh words, unrest, anxiety. The world is messed up because we are messed up, all of us. And the amazing message of Christmas is that God himself entered into this chaotic world that lacks peace and did something about it so that we could have peace. And that's why we're looking at Romans 5 through 11 this Advent season. Last week we saw how the Christmas, Jesus coming, the God-man, fully God and fully man, comes into the world, how he provides hope. And today we want to see how the real Christmas brings peace to a troubled world. It brings peace to our troubled hearts. It brings peace to our troubled relationships. So I want us to look at the Romans 5, 1 through 11, and see how Christmas brings peace in two specific ways. First is this: Christmas brings peace to our troubled world, but also to our troubled hearts. Again, you don't need a Bible to tell you that the world lacks peace. And right away in verse 1 of chapter 5, we get an inkling that the world is not as it should be. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Right away we find out that it is God alone who can provide peace for us, and God can provide peace for us only if we have been justified by faith. What the text is trying to show us is that the reason there's not peace in the world is because we are sinful people. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8 says this: "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And going on in verse 10, it says, "For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall be saved by his life." What Romans 5, 1 through 11 shows us is that when we are, all of us, are born into the world, we are in a hostile relationship with God because of our sin. We don't want to do what God wants. We don't want to live in his world the way he wants us to. We all rebel. And because God is holy and must deal with our sin, there's a hostility between us and God and God and us. And what I would say to all of us is the most pressing problem that every human being has is that we are not at peace with God. We are born into this hostile situation because of our sin and because of God's holiness. That's how we all start out. And to be in a hostile relationship with God ought to be the most frightening thing any of us would ever experience. I mean, only God himself has the power to harm us in this life, but also harm us in the next life for eternity. And the amazing thing about Christmas is that God brings peace to people who originally have rebelled against him. Verse 1 is clear. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes to earth as a baby, as fully God and fully man, when he grows up and he hangs on a cross for us, our sin is put on Jesus. Not only that, but his righteousness can be credited to us. But of course, it says in verse 1, since we have been justified by faith, we have this incredible gift that we can receive by faith. If we put our faith in confidence in Christ alone, that his death took our sin and then provided us with his goodness and righteousness so that we could have a personal relationship with God. It's being justified by faith that allows us to be able to know and believe that we now have peace with God. And it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. I looked up and found a Duke University study about how to have peace in this life. And there's 8 steps. First of all, you have to have an absence of suspicion and resentment. Nursing a grudge will cause you to not to have peace. It also says we can't live in the past. An unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes leads to a lack of peace. Not wasting time and energy fighting conditions you cannot change. Number 4, force yourself to stay involved with the living world. Number 5, refuse to indulge in self-pity. Number 6, cultivate virtues, love, humor, compassion, loyalty. 7, do not expect too much of yourself. Number 8, find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Well, you know, I'm not saying that that's wrong necessarily. Some of those ideas are good, but all of them have to do with what I'm going to have to do to get peace. And what Romans 5, 1 through 11 says, the peace with God that God wants to give us, in spite of the fact that we all are enemies of God when we are born into the world, rebelling against God, is that God alone provides this through Jesus Christ. We don't earn the peace. We don't work for the peace per se. We simply receive by faith the justifying power of the death of Christ, which removes our sin, gives us the righteousness so that we can have peace with God. And of course, that peace with God is an objective reality. It's simply true. We need to believe that through Jesus Christ, that is the basis of peace. And of course, it's not simply objective peace that Paul is talking about. He is talking about that. But there's a relational peace that occurs when we put our hope and confidence by faith into Jesus Christ. Notice verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And 2 occasions in that verse, it mentions the word reconciliation. It means there was a hostile relationship between us and God and us. But through Jesus Christ, reconciliation has taken place. So now that we are in a friendship, we're in a relationship, there's a personal reconciliation that takes place through the death of Christ when we put our faith and confidence in him. And of course, Paul goes on in verse 11, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And the key for each of us is, do we believe this? For those of us who put our faith and confidence in Christ alone, do we believe what Christ has accomplished for us? And that is, I think, the difficult challenge. It's not something we work for or earn, but it's something we have to daily receive by faith and believe. My fear for many of us is that we have things in our past, sins, things we've said to people, things we've said to our spouse, things we've said to our children, things we've done at work or whatever. And we look back at these things and we're embarrassed. We feel shame. And we sometimes wonder, does God, can Christ, through his death, actually deal with that so that I can have peace with God? And some of you are worried about that for something you did in the last week. Some of you are going to be worried about that for what you do next week or next month. But the truth of the matter is, if you've been justified by faith, you now have peace with God, and we need to believe that, and we need to operate out of that objective peace and the relational peace that God has provided for us. And it goes even beyond that. Verse 2 says, through him, Jesus, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We now can come into the presence of God, not as enemies, but as people who stand with their sins forgiven, the righteousness of Christ upon us, so that when God looks at us in a fundamental way, he sees the beauty of Christ. Therefore, we can come right into his presence, and all of that accomplished by Christ himself. As a number of you know, I was in Slovakia this past 2 weeks. We had a great time. We're going to share about a little bit more about that in January. But one of the highlights of the trip is Lubica Kovac, who's one of our global partners. She serves in a church called the Paradox Church in Bratislava, the capital of Slovakia. And she took us to a senior center where she goes every single week and meets with a group of seniors. None of them are believers, right? And she's just building relationships with them. And so we met the people. Everything had to be translated. And one of the men that were there, he's 94 years old. They said that he liked to sing. And so I said, well, why don't you sing something for us? So he sings this beautiful song in Slovak. And I have no idea what it meant. They translated a little bit of it, and I still didn't really understand the song. And then he turned around and said, I want you to sing a song. And that's when we went back to the airport and came home, because our ministry was done. So, stupid me, I thought maybe we could sing a song that they might be familiar with, some, you know, an American song. So I was going to try to sing this Frank Sinatra song. And my wife, who's a Christian, said, Why don't you sing Amazing Grace? I said, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, this might be a good idea. So Denise and I sang Amazing Grace. And I'm not going to talk about Denise's vocal abilities, but I can tell you about my vocal abilities. It was not great, okay? But we sang Amazing Grace, and they were very polite. And then they asked in Slovak, well, what does the song mean? Well, there was Lubica. And Lubica goes on to this incredible story. I mean, I kind of knew what she said. She told us afterwards, but she told the story of Amazing Grace. How a slaver, someone who was involved in the slave trade, John Newton writes this song as a description of how God rescued him out of his notorious slave owning and working on ships that were transporting slaves, and how God rescued him from his evil, from his rebellion against God and his mistreatment of human beings, and a story of God's amazing grace to bring him to himself. And they were moved by that. And then they asked us to sing the song again, and we did. But the writer of the song Amazing Grace had a lot of things he did in his life that are appalling, horrific. He knew that. But he also knew that because Jesus Christ came all the way out of heaven, the God-man, fully God and fully man, and died in his place, he could have forgiveness of sins for all of the things he did while he was involved in the slave trade, and knew that he was at peace with God because of the amazing grace accomplished through Jesus Christ. And if we're going to have peace in this world, if you rely on anything other than Jesus Christ, you will be disappointed. You will not have peace. We need to remember, for those of us who have put our faith and confidence in Christ alone, that we have objective peace, we have relational peace, we've been invited to have access to God because of Jesus Christ. Nothing that we've done, nothing that we have accomplished, nothing that we deserve. But we have peace with God, the only one who really matters that we have peace with. Not only for this life, but the life to come. Christmas brings peace to our world and to our troubled hearts. We simply need to believe and think through the implications of the gospel to see that. Secondly, I want to show you how Christmas ought to bring peace to our troubled relationships. When we have peace with God and we are experiencing the objective peace because we believe what the gospel has said about us because of Christ, this becomes the foundation for how we relate to other people that we may have a fractured relationship with. I want you to turn to Romans 12. This is in the same book that Paul wrote. I would submit to you that Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 along with the rest of Romans, gives the foundation for these practical applications of the gospel and knowing that we have peace with God. But in verse 16 of Romans 12, it speaks about how the gospel ought to change the way we relate to other people. Verse 16 says, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly." If we rightly understand that we have peace with God and we didn't earn it or deserve it, if we were in a hostile relationship and then Christ made it possible for us to know God and to be in relationship with him, how could we ever look down on anyone else knowing the great grace that we have received? He goes on in verse 17, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all." In other words, knowing that God has decided in his grace in Jesus Christ not to punish us for our sin because we have no condemnation because he took that condemnation means that we don't have to slavishly repay evil for evil. We can forgive just like God has forgiven us. Verse 19 says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." In other words, because Jesus died in our place, because he took the sin and the punishment that we deserved upon himself, because we know we are forgiven and at peace with God, we can turn around and pursue the fractured relationships that we have in our lives with a spirit ready to forgive and ready to mend and ready to reconcile. And when we understand God's grace in giving us peace, providing reconciliation, the natural, normal overflow of that understanding of grace and peace that has graciously been given to us by God is to pour out our lives in the pursuit of reconciliation with the other people in our life that we are not in complete harmony with, and allows us to forgive. When we know that God has forgiven us for all of what we've done, we can turn around and forgive those that have hurt us. I would say in some sense, if we are struggling, and I suspect a number of us are struggling with some form of bitterness or anger or frustration with somebody, one of the reasons we struggle with those things is because we have not internalized the gospel of grace, the gospel of the peace of God that has been graciously given to us. Because it's knowing that we are at peace with God that allows us the power, the strength, the vision to make things right with someone else. So this Christmas, may we fully embrace, more comprehensively, more consistently, the incredible peace of God that Christ has provided in Christ, and then turn around and pour out that peace on all those around us, even those that we find difficult to relate to. That's what Christmas brings to us, brings to our troubled relationships, but it brings to our own troubled hearts. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the peace that you give us. I pray that you would help each of us, Lord, particularly those this morning that are struggling, believing that they do have peace with God through Christ, struggling to really believe that they have been justified by the grace of Christ. That you would help each of us to believe that, to internalize the objective reality that we're at peace with God and we are personally reconciled to God and that we have access to God. And then may we turn around and live out a life of peace and a life of peacemaking to all based on the incredible grace we've been given by Christ himself in having peace with our great God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.